Waiting is hard. On one hand, those few seconds was very confusing, awkward, and worrisome. But on the other hand, I like to guess that every person here was eagerly anticipating, when is Pastor Mike going to start speaking again? Waiting can be one of the hardest things to do because you're either not sure what's going to happen or you know exactly what's going to happen next, but you don't know when. Many of us know that Stanford experiment on delayed gratification versus immediate gratification where children are told to wait to eat a marshmallow, and if they wait, they'll get another one. And even though we know that something better is coming, isn't it so true that we're so eager to take what is right in front of us? Waiting is hard. There are several moments in life that can be difficult to wait for, like when you know that food will be ready at any point, but you start getting hangry and impatient. Or when you're interested in someone and you're waiting for that person to text you back. Or when you're waiting for a job offer or promotion or a grad school application results or waiting for a difficult situation to resolve itself. Some of us had a very challenging 2023 and we're waiting for a better 2024. And even as we look at this world, particularly the violence and suffering in this Israel-Palestine crisis, no matter where you stand on this issue, all of us are crying out, waiting for peace, healing, restoration, joy. Waiting is not easy. But in our passage today, we read of two people who waited. They waited eagerly for the Lord. Simeon and Anna were two amazing, stellar people, a man and a woman who were devoted to the Lord and trusted in his promises. They fixed their eyes upon God and placed their hope in him, in the one who answers. There isn't much more that we know about them, but in this short passage, Simeon and Anna teach us that humble waiting has less to do with excruciating endurance and more to do with eager anticipation. And so with this eager anticipation in mind, I want to share three lessons we can receive from them in their waiting and what that looks like for us to wait eagerly for Jesus to return. First, what leads us into our waiting is a longing. Waiting begins when we recognize that we need something outside of ourselves, outside of what this world can give us and offer. And in that place of need, the inner groanings of our heart are crying out, "Oh Lord, how long? Oh Lord, how much longer?" Sometimes we struggle to be in a place of longing because we feel in control. We feel powerful. We feel like we know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and we don't need anyone else's help. But longing comes from a place of surrender. It's recognizing that we need someone else. When we say, "Oh Lord, only you know. You are in control, and you alone are God. I am not." And there's something about getting older that humbles us to recognize that we need something outside of ourselves, something or someone greater than us. Both Simeon and Anna were in that place of surrender. They were very old. Simeon knew that he was near the end of his time on earth, and Anna was 84, well beyond the average life expectancy. And in their old age, I think they were fully aware that they were both frail and needy. They needed a higher power. They needed a savior, the Messiah. Scripture tells us that both Simeon and Anna were waiting for something. They were waiting for something. What was Simeon waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The biblical theme of consolation is pointing to comfort in the wake of loss or disappointment, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Christ. And so Simeon decided to wait for the consolation of Israel. And what was the prophetess Anna waiting for? She was waiting for the redemption of Israel, for a nation that was once lost to be restored. You see, at this point of history, Israel had gone through a very long season of division, oppression, and exile. And while many Israelites decided to take matters into their own hands and neglect their faith in Jesus, Simeon and Anna stayed in the temple, waiting for the Lord to come. It says in verse 37 that Anna did not depart from the temple. She stayed there. And it's in this temple, the house of the Lord, where we see that their longing led them to waiting. Waiting through worship, prayer, and fasting. For them, they were reaching the end of themselves, and it's precisely in this place of surrender and need that they depended on the Lord. And so I think a few questions that we can be asking ourselves is, are you in a place of longing? Have I surrendered my heart to the Lord? Am I desperate for the Lord to return? As I look back at 2020 and 2021, those were some challenging years of life and ministry. I'm not that old, but maybe many of you have had more difficult years than those years. But in 2020 and 2021, it felt like one thing after another, there was something going on. First, it was COVID, which in and of itself was a whirlwind. And then we were going through the whole thing with the BLM movement, then the Capitol riot, then the Asian hate crimes, all in the midst of trying to pastor and care for people who aren't even here in Boston. People were antisocial. People didn't want to be pastored and shepherded. And I was wrestling with what my purpose was in this moment of time. I think that year had a way of highlighting human limits and a lack of control. But the thing is that accepting the powerlessness of that moment, the powerlessness of that year, made more room to see God's hand in it. And even though we've come a long way from when COVID first hit, my hope is that we wouldn't be disillusioned to think that we no longer need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the Messiah. We need the Savior of the world, the Christ, the living King who was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We need Jesus. Do you long for him? Both Simeon and Anna were waiting for the one who they believed would be the source of true joy, peace, comfort, and redemption. They longed for the consolation and redemption of Israel, and likewise, what leads us into this waiting is longing for Jesus. The second lesson we can learn is this. What keeps us in our waiting is faith in God's promises. Simeon and Anna were grounded in Scripture. They were both well-versed in biblical prophecy, and they knew that the Scriptures foretold that the Messiah would come out of Egypt. Born in Bethlehem to a virgin, he would do miracles and wonders. He would be the Son of God and yet God himself. He would heal lepers, open the eyes of the blind, and the lame would leap for joy. And they knew the Scriptures that spoke of God comforting his people and the promise of Israel's future redemption. That's just for starters. If Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel and Anna was waiting for the redemption of Israel, then they must have been watching for the coming of the Messiah. And they could have only achieved this by close study of the Scriptures, and especially the prophecies of the coming Messiah and the everlasting King. Otherwise, how would they have known to wait? Both Simeon and Anna not only knew what God had said and what he was saying to them, but they believed it. They believed and they trusted him. They had great faith in the one who is faithful. They had great faith in his word. And the thing is, the enemy will always try to cause us to doubt, did God really say this? Did God really say that? But Simeon and Anna were unmoved in those moments. How about us? We are in a similar position today when it comes to waiting for the Messiah. Jesus says in John 14, 1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Can we be like Anna and Simeon, waiting in faith for the promises to come to pass in our days? Do we know what the promises are? Are we keeping in step with the Holy Spirit as stated in Galatians 5:16? Do we listen to God's voice? Do we believe what he says? Are we passionate about dwelling in the presence of God and seeking his face? We all stumble time and time again, but we are not left to struggle alone. Jesus specifically sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to change us from the inside out so that we naturally want to live his way and declare that he is faithful to keep his promises. Earlier in the opening worship, we sang a song called Faithful to the End. And as we were singing that song, singing the chorus, "You are faithful, faithful to the end," I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking me, and perhaps all of us here, is do we believe that God is faithful to not only give us peace in 2024, to not only give us more blessings in 2024, those are all of our hopes for 2024, but do we believe that God is faithful to fulfill his promises of Jesus' return? What do you long for more? Sometimes I wonder if our hope for God's blessings and declaring his faithfulness is less God-centered and more self-centered. And we start focusing on his faithfulness to provide for us rather than his faithfulness to fulfill his promises, his promise to send his son Jesus once again. And today I want to invite us to put our hope and our faith in him. Part of the call that God gives us is to hold fast to his promises in faith and wait eagerly for him. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." And with the help of the Holy Spirit, like Simeon and Anna, we are to wait in faith, trusting in God's promises. The third and last lesson that I want to share with us today is that what strengthens us in our waiting is praise and proclamation. We have the unique privilege of being in the already but not yet. This is what many theologians call kingdom theology. We already know that the Messiah came in the form of a baby boy born from a virgin in a manger. We've already tasted and seen a glimpse of the kingdom of God through Jesus. But we also know that the resurrected king has yet to return. And the fullness of God's kingdom has yet to come. And so we can praise God with Simeon, and we can proclaim Christ with Anna, waiting for that fullness to come. For Simeon, he entered the temple, as I imagine he did for many days of his life already. But on one of those days, he met a family, Mary and Joseph, with their newborn. And then he picked up baby Jesus. And in that moment, one commentary says this, that the prophetic word of God with us became a personal encounter of God with me. He had received the consolation of Israel that he had been waiting for so many years. And in response to this, he blessed God with what many scholars believe was a song of praise. And he sang this, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon praised God. He felt like he could finally depart in peace and go to the Lord, for he knew that the Savior King has come into the world to bring peace and salvation to the world. For us today, we can praise God with Simeon, knowing that the Lord's comfort has come upon us today and trusting that the fullness of his comfort will come at Jesus' return. For Anna responded to Jesus much the same way as Simeon. The sheer existence of Jesus in the temple was the only evidence she needed to recognize God's redemptive hand. Christ, a baby who couldn't even walk, became the focal point of her praise. And her praise led her to proclamation. Verse 38 says, "And coming up at that very hour, the hour of seeing baby Jesus in that temple, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Anna made a point of talking about Jesus to all who were waiting for the Messiah. She didn't view Jesus as a secret revelation exclusively to her. She didn't wait to see how Christ's life would unfold before spreading the word. She didn't need to see how things turned out first. She knew that he was a Christ, the very Messiah that they were waiting for, and that redemption would come through this baby boy to all those who will hear. We're all part of Anna's audience. Everyone is looking for rescue, for wrongs to be made right, for suffering to be over. And she joyfully points us all to the child and repeats her message that Jesus is everything. Jesus is our consolation. Jesus is our redemption. And as Isaiah 9:7 says, there will be no end to the peace he brings. As we consider these three lessons on waiting, perhaps we could be asking ourselves these three questions. Am I longing for Jesus to return? Am I putting my trust in his promises, specifically the promise of his return? Am I praising God for who Jesus is and proclaiming Christ for all to hear and receive him into their life? If you are here today, I want to believe that there's some part of you that has received this good news of great joy. The gospel of Emmanuel, God with us. And as we close out the year of 2023, I hope that you can look back at all the good times and all the bad times and to see that God was with you through all of it. The baby boy Jesus who was in that temple, who grew up, was crucified on the cross, resurrected from the dead, ascended to the Father, seated on the right hand of the throne of God. This Jesus was with you through every moment of 2023. He rejoiced with you. He wept with you. And if we have ears to hear his voice, and if we have seen the goodness of God in our lives, then we can go into 2024 waiting eagerly for the Lord to not only do the same as this past year or even give us more blessings this next year, but we can wait for the Lord to return. There's an Aramaic word, Maranatha, which means our Lord, come. It's a cry for Jesus to return. And 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 says that the crown of righteousness will come upon those who, in the ESV, it will come upon those who have loved his appearing, but in the NIV it says those who have longed for his appearing. Waiting is the eager anticipation of the fulfillment of a promise or hope, and our hope is that Christ will fulfill his promise to return and to take us to where he is. God always keeps his promises. And the promise of Jesus' return is true and sure. I love the second to last verse of the scriptures in Revelation 22, verse 20. It says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. What a way to end his love letter to us, a promise of return. The question is, will we wait like Simeon and Anna? What would it look like for us to hark and be watchful and pray for the Lord to come? To close, I want to share three simple ways we can wait eagerly for the Lord in the likeness of Simeon and Anna. First, we can pray for a heart that increasingly longs for Jesus' return. What are the areas in your life where you struggle to surrender to the Lord and to trust God, to put your faith in the one who is faithful? When we identify those areas and surrender them to the Lord, we can be able to recognize more and more of our deep need for a Savior, and we can lean on the help of the Holy Spirit and cry out for the consolation and redemption of this world. So we can start there. Pray for a heart that eagerly longs for Jesus. Second, hold fast to the confession of your hope in Christ Jesus. I could imagine that Simeon and Anna were the outliers. People may have been even telling them to just give up. Stop going into the temple. Stop worshiping and praying and fasting for the Messiah to come. Why do you keep persisting? But like Simeon and Anna, we can trust his promises, holding fast to the confession of our hope in Christ Jesus. And I think what this can tangibly look like is to worship and pray and read the Bible regularly, if not daily. As we go into this next year, perhaps some of you have a New Year's resolution of reading the Bible more. And I think that is awesome. But I hope that it's not just so that you can be a better Christian, but I hope that it's because that you, the Word of God, the promises of God can be immersed in your heart and your mind and soul so that it'll help you to wait more eagerly. Even if you don't feel motivated on any given day or any season in life, do it. I know it seems weird, but we just have to do it. Because as we do it, as we meditate on His Word, immerse ourselves in His promises, we'll be able to believe in Him, hold fast to His promises each day, to the One who is faithful. And third, share about Jesus with others. The inner groanings of every human heart is longing for Jesus, and so we can unapologetically share about Jesus with others. Share the gospel, and you can do that through your testimony. How have you seen God transform your life? One conviction I had near the end of November was that we need to normalize testimonies, not just share testimonies when we're getting baptized or confirmed or when we're told to share a testimony, but to share about the living Jesus in our lives. For the life we now live is to Christ. And as we do this, as we share our testimonies, we will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit to wait with hope, to remember who Jesus is in our life. I do believe that God has much in store for each and every one of us in 2024. But the hope of Jesus is so much more than just more blessings and more peace this next year. He wants us to wait eagerly for the person of Jesus to return. So let's wait eagerly for Him to return with hope. Let's pray.